Hello, everybody. My name is Herschel Clark. Right now, my colleague, Ali Yazzi, is going to be setting up the basket, and also it's kind of really connected to what I'm going to be talking about here. I was going to introduce myself. First of all, my name is Herschel Clark. My clans are Toliglin, Nishlanto, Devesh, and Bushchin, Ottawa, Shinshiche, Del Tisnaza, Nishinilla. So that's just a culture protocol for the Navajos and introducing ourselves. So, yeah, thank you. What we laid down here is really we're going to be talking about the perception, opinions, and attitudes surrounding commercial tobacco use. And within a Native community and Native cultures, tobacco to us historically is really connected to us, even though it's in some sense there is a commercial tobacco point on there, but there's still a plant that is relevant inside, you know, without all the chemicals. So if we're going to talk about it, you know, you have to give some justice to that plant that is still an herbal. It still has its own purpose and its way of healing people that it once had. So we got to give it justice, and so that's why we tried to consult with a lot of our traditional elders and how we want to talk about this and how we're going to address this issue. So one of the things that we do is we try to bring the culture into play in our presentations and whatnot, what we do, our project. So that's why it would be proper that we just have it here and I could speak to it in respect. There's a spiritual connection there. So just like to give that acknowledgement first of all. The name of my presentation is called Breathing Clean Air is Sa'anagaipika Ejo. But I see that it's a little different up there, but sorry about that. But I'll go ahead and start off with the background of our project and then the collaboration and different methods that we're using and also the findings of our project. The project of our is called NATOCAP, which is the Networks Among Tribal Organizations for Clean Air Policy. It was funded through NIH and the NTI Institute. And really what it's about is just really the attitudes, beliefs, and discussions related to the smoke-free policy on the Navajo Nation and see how our people understand it. The purpose of the research is really just to see how the Navajo people look at it and also to share with health communities and people like you to understand the issue a little more. And just to note that the NATOCAP project is not used for any kind of advocacy in the sense of a policy to be implemented on the Navajo Nation. So we got to make that a note, you know, that our funding source, we're not supposed to be doing any advocacy work. It was approved by the Navajo Nation Human Research Review Board and back in like a year and a half ago or so, in June 18, 2013. And some of the collaboration work that our team members on this NATOCAP project is from the Mayo Clinic of Scottsdale. We have our principal investigator, Scott Linshaw, Dr. Scott Linshaw, and in the Black Hills Center for American Indian Health with Dr. Patricia Ness Henderson, and the University of Arizona with our co-PI is Samantha Sable. Dr. Sable, she's here in the audience too as well, so it's good to see her. And also the Washtenaw University, University of Southern California, and an in-source group, Greg Moore, who is our project manager. So this is our team right here. It's a really big project, and I'll go ahead and talk about the collaboration approach in our project. Really what we're trying to do is have a good collaboration and a mixed method when we talk about our project. Is really to share decision-making about research project, the conception, the design, the conduct, the analysis, the interpretation, conclusions. And really what we're trying to is mesh the indigenous mythologies and also with the community-based participatory research approach and using our DNA knowledge as well. So I'll go ahead and explain that a little later on in the project. And the goal is to really study change in community health networks, opinions, and policies. And in mixed methods, we're using a statistical and theoretical analysis and also engages qualitative, quantitative, and indigenous mythologies. And the goal is to really just have a understanding of the complex that not one method is superior over another, or what, you know, that needs to be both in some sense. So these are the collaborative mixed methods that we're using on our project. And in our project, like I said, it's a huge project itself. So the components of our project I'll be talking about today is just the focus group, the community base that we use there. And then we're also doing surveys with our Navajo Nation political leaders on the Navajo Nation. And then also there's a Team Navajo Health Coalition, which is a huge coalition. It's a health coalition and it really has, I believe, 129 members on that in that coalition. And you talk about political leaders all the way down to grassroots leaders and traditional leaders. So they're all a mix of health people that are really trying to focus on developing a smoke-free policy on the Navajo Nation. So we're really studying them as well. We'll be doing surveys with them. And within the political leaders of the Navajo Nation and the Team Navajo, we're doing in-depth interviews with them as well. So that's just the other parts of our project. But for today, I'll be talking about the focus groups and our findings within that area. And just to note, like I was talking about, any kind of messages using smoking, secondhand smoke, tobacco, or so forth, is really referred to commercial tobacco. It's not really referred to our traditional use, which is the no-till of our traditional mountain smoke that we use. And this really came about from our traditional elders. They were talking about how do we identify commercial tobacco, and if you're going to use that, you're talking about our traditional, like, don't call it tobacco, period. They want to be identified specifically as just our notable. That's the word you use. So they really they kind of got after us for using the tobacco word in some sense. And you guys all know about the Surgeon General's report and the secondhand smoke, and so I won't really show that part. American Indian tribes are sovereign nations. We have the right to implement any kind of policies, smoke-free policy, on our own tribes. And I believe just roughly, I'm not going to quote me on this, I believe there's like 35 roughly tribes that have some kind of smoke-free policy out of the 566 fairly recognized tribes. So roughly that's like 7% of our people have smoke-free policies. And Navajo Nation does not have a smoke-free legislation. But just recently, our President Ben Chelly, he passed an executive order that was implemented on the Navajo Nation. So we do have somewhat of a policy, but it's not a comprehensive policy all over the Navajo Nation. So just like to get that note. And then the focus group. Really what we did, we developed three evidence-based messages on economics and health effects on smoke-free policy. We identified three areas that we're going to be doing this focus groups at throughout the Navajo Nation. And we identified messages and strategies about smoke-free policies to resonate with Navajo people. So the evidence-based messages that we used in these focus groups was, the first message was economic impact of smoke-free in workplaces. The second is health effects of secondhand smoke. And the third is economic and health effects of secondhand smoke. And the three communities that we had, that we identified ourselves in, that we were going to do the focus group was in Shiprock, which is our northern, I would say northeast side of the Navajo Nation, and then Window Rock in the middle part of it, and in a little small urban community in Loop, Arizona. So what we tried to do with this, we tried to identify locations that would somewhat bring a good concept of how Navajo Nation is. I know there's a lot of places we could have done it, but we looked at Loop because it was a small urban community, very small populated, and in Window Rock, where our political people are all at, and see how they perceive it there. And in Shiprock, we tried to look for a location where somewhere it's in New Mexico area. So New Mexico, Navajos, and Arizona, they always say, are different. So we kind of identified that area up there. So these are the three areas that we did our focus groups in. And in our research team, what we did is we went out into these communities, and we set up our focus groups. We have four indigenous researchers that helped out in this focus group. We had one Anglo from a university. The age was young and middle and mature, and the teachings were traditional and non-traditional. The education background behind our researchers were Dinette College, American Indian Studies, Public Health, and University of Life. And then professional experience was tobacco education policy, leaders in the Navajo Nation government, Hopi government, university researcher, and spiritual advisor. So these were our research group that went out and did these focus groups. And what we did is we set it up, the focus groups, and we audio recorded them, and then later on we analyzed it through themes, and I'll go ahead and explain that. And our participants, this is the demographics, the gender, and Loop, Shiprock, and Fort Defiant. You can see there's more males, or there was more females than there was males. I think that's just a culture thing for now, but that the women are really the leaders in our homes. And so really, the show is here itself. And then the participant age range and Loop, Super Rock, and Loop was 41% younger, and then 40% from middle age, and then 20% were their elders. And you guys could just see. But at the end, 27 participants, you could tell that it was kind of neutral of our age range there. And employment type, we have 41% of our participants that were now with government officials, 15% in that college, and 11% was other, and unknown was 33%. So these are just our demographics. And what I was talking about, I need some water, thanks. It's really dry, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
No, that's
right. And then one of the things that we did when we were doing our analysis, we worked with the University of Arizona on our analysis, and we were trying to figure out themes that we were finding in our people and what they were saying and how we interpreted what our the audio recordings were saying. And we were trying to figure out, you know, well, among ourselves, just as researchers, we found out a lot of our people were talking about ethics, environment, economics, and then family. And then we were trying to find a conceptual model or model that would resemble this. So we did a little research. I'm a Dinette College product as well, from Dinette College, and the Dinette Studies is what I graduated. So we went back to Dinette College, and they actually had a conceptual model that they used in their own research, and it fit exactly what we found in our themes. So we went ahead and used the Dinette College conceptual model, which really is environment, ethics, and family. And really, it's talking about, and I'll go ahead and talk about what that means. And according to the Navajo knowledge, it really is just a guidance. It's a path, way of life for Dinette people and how we look at things and anything that we do in our life. It's a traditional system that places human life in harmony with the natural world and the universe, provides principles for protection from the imperfections of life and the development of well-being. So really, it's just our mind, body, and spirit that guides us to who we are as Dinette people from the time that we were born until the time we go into the spirit world. So that's how I really understand what Sa'anagaibike is. And this is something that we really use in a lot of our songs and a lot of our prayers and our ceremonial practices. So it's a very sacred philosophy, if you want to call it, or discipline in some sense. So it's really unique to have this to be used in the sense of what we're talking about. Okay. And in our findings, okay, family, we talked about cultural teachings generally promote a smoke-free lifestyle. Family strength of ke is not as strong as in the past. Grandparents are unable to explain why you should not smoke. You know, like these days when parents tell you not to do something, or grandparents, little young ones are like asking why, but they can't explain. So that's what people were talking about in family. In an environment, people are unaware about that Navajo Nation does not have a smoke-free policy. And a lot of them kind of acted like there was already a policy due to border towns in some sense. Smoke-free policy was a larger clean air policy issue, and that was really relevant in the Shiprock area where they have power plants. And so they were saying that you guys are here to clean up the air, but we have, like, you're talking about cigarettes, and we have power plants behind our back doors. So that really came into relevant. And then social environments predicted smoking behavior, that if you designate different areas where it could smoke, where people can smoke and where they can smoke, then it would help out in some sense in environment-wise. Ethics, smoking is a personal choice and individual freedom. A lot of people felt that their individual right, you know, it was not in balance with the overall people, the community, of how they looked at a smoke-free policy. Business were considered profit-oriented, and health of employees, patrons, visitors may not be a priority. Bars and casinos were considered public, and workplaces where smoke-free policies would be difficult to enforce. People engage in activities and are allowed accepted behavior that they would not engage in the permit or other businesses or environments. So this is the ethics portion of it. In economics, tobacco. Tobacco-related health care causes were unknown and unclear. A lot of the participants said that, you know, I go to IHS, I get free health care, so, you know, I could drink and smoke and do whatever you want. I'm still going to get free health care. So the misconception of how they look at that is really, to me, it was really surprising. Smoke-free policies, smoke-free laws are applied differently depending on the type of size of business compared to, like, our community houses. We call them chapter houses. In comparison to casinos, so our political people are looking at, you know, we'll pass a law, but we'll exempt the casino. So that's what a lot of people were saying. Now citizens are more concerned about getting and keeping a job than the long-term health effects of secondhand smoke. So they'll what they were saying is, I'll go work in a casino. It's more, I need the money. You know, I'm not gonna say I don't need the money. So they're risking their health. You know, their health concerns in relation to just getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. So in conclusion, breathing clean air is a ke was considered a vital protective factor for our health. Traditional teachings support a smoke-free life. Struggle to balance individual rights and respect for collective rights to a smoke-free life. Profit making was considered not in balance for protection and safety of the Navajo citizens. And did not people understand that understand health as a holistic view and process based on agaipike ajan? So really, our people are just saying that, you know, breathing clean air is ajan, which is on agaipike ajan in the long term version. So that's my presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
We'll take one question. We got any questions? Okay.
We just looked at all of them, and then we just kind of compared it. We didn't really segregate it, I guess, okay. In a sense, but that's a good question.
Can you just tell us those three again? The first was smoke-free workplace.
Smoke-free workplaces. I can go back to this one.
Yeah, three. Okay.
This one, on health effects of secondhand smoke, and economic and health effects of secondhand smoke.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.